press record, you bugger. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the big stuff that's gone off in Apple. We've got a few stories this week, which is nice as well, rather than trying to fill time like we normally have to do. My name's Ewan Apple, and I'm a photographer here in Birmingham. And joining me, I've got a fantastic panel. Starting us off, top left, the man himself, Chuck Apple. How you doing, mate?
Good, Ewan. It's good to see you again.
What you been up to, buddy?
Trying work. To stay busy, trying to keep up with everything, and, occasionally buy a new toy or two.
Work, and more work.
Exactly. What else is there?
You've had to bail on us a few times, haven't you, because of work, which is not good enough, really.
Yeah, unfortunately, those were days that lunch didn't happen, so I apologize, but I'm back now.
Good to have you, mate. Always good to have you here. I'm going to let him finish taking a sip of his coffee before I switch to Jeff Apple. How the devil are you, mate?
You and Apple, I am doing fantastic.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much.
And it's actually tea.
It's tea. Okay, I do apologize. What kind of tea?
That's all right.
Is it a type of tea or?
It's Earl Grey.
Oh, hot.
Hot with a little bit of honey and some soy milk.
Oh, excellent. Okay, mate. Good. Weekly Den Colorado weather report. What's Boulder doing?
We are actually under a bad quality air alert.
Did you fog?
The air quality is so bad right now, it looks foggy outside.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. So I'll stay inside and drink tea out of my BB-8 mug and call it good.
Good, man. Next to him, it's Steve Apple. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing quite fine. Thank you very much, and thanks for asking. And how are you?
I'm all right, pal. I'm good. I've had a really nice week, actually. I've had a really pleasant week, so nothing horrific. Now, what's the Denver weather report this week?
Let's see. We're actually, and it's good because we were in the thick of it earlier this week, but I think we're actually above the smog layer today. I live a little bit further south and a little bit further altitude.
Neither of you still reporting snow.
No, it's actually been quite nice. Yesterday it got up to 63 or 64 here, so it was that's degrees Fahrenheit, of course, but it was quite nice.
Holy
and
moly.
A lot of snow melted, and my sump pump in my basement decided to disassemble itself into about three pieces, and I had water all over my basement, but things are fine now.
Good. And last but by no means least, it's James Apple. How you doing, mate?
Well, it's funny you should say that. Oh, gosh. Have I got audio on? Hello? Can you hear me all right? Yes, I'm very well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Where did the music come from there?
Oh, it's going to be my pick. So say nothing. My iPhone suddenly just woke up. yes, my wife's back from France. She left me for only a few days. And I was late picking up last night, as always, Ryanair. Champions of the airwaves.
Oh, Ryanair were late, not you. Because I was going to say, if you're late, you'd have been broadcasting from the spare room then.
Yes. No, so I was dropping her and her drunk mates off at about 2:30 this morning. Joy of joys. I'm a little bit tired.
Okay.
But otherwise, tickety-boo.
Excellent, mate. The week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. Well, obviously, the first thing to start with is that Tim Apple was called out and congratulated by President Dump this week.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Did you see what Tim Apple did to his name on his Twitter account?
I think there's a clue in there. But
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yes, yeah, he did. It's just epic.
Well, I don't think it's actually, but here's the thing, right? You listening, America? If you keep taking the piss out of Trump for all this silly shit, you're going to galvanize all his supporters into utter hatred, and the little bastard will get reelected. I'm warning you, stick to the stuff that's serious. Otherwise, we're going to have another 4 years of this Muppet.
It's so weird that Apple's gone from not saying anything about anything and suddenly they're taking the mickey out of their own president. I mean, I know he's up for grabs for anybody these days because it's so easy to take the mickey out of him. But the fact that Steve went as far as to put the Apple sign out of his name on Twitter, Sorry, Tim did. Where's Steve? Bless his heart.
See how easily it's done? Do you see how easily it's done? Steve Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, and you've had a... I forgot my wife's name once when I was introducing her to someone.
I've done that before. Shortly after Barb and I were married, we were at some, you know, wonderful event and, you know, with coworkers. And I walked up to somebody and said, hi, how's it going? So-and-so. This is my wife.
At least you didn't say your ex-girlfriend's name or something.
Yeah. And what it was at that point was it was the first time I had ever really introduced her as my wife. Spouse. There we go. And it was just like, oh my God, we are actually married now. And it's been 40 years now. So,
Steve, were there refreshments involved at all?
No. Could never.
That's my doorbell. Keep talking, fellas.
Yeah. Oh, Ewan's getting a new toy.
Oh, Ewan's getting something great there, I'm sure. But it's funny, too, because I noticed reading some of the articles. He did this, or Trump did this last year with Marilyn, I'm trying to remember her last name, Hewson. And she's the CEO of Lockheed Martin, which is the company my spouse retired from in 2017, but referred to her as Marilyn Lockheed. So I think what it is you've got a guy there who wants to be able to associate names and companies. And so he's probably thinking, Marilyn Lockheed, you know, Tim Apple. And he throws these things out. So, you know, being 61 years old, I can understand.
Go on then.
I think that three of his four thrusters have stopped firing. And that most of his neural pathways have just seized up.
According to Stormy Daniels, his thrusting's not a problem. There's just not many of them.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, but he does have a tendency to want to give people nicknames, and some of them are less, you know, less flattering. Crooked Hillary, and some of them are more flattering. Tim Apple.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The other thing
that's so generous of you.
No, but here's the thing, right? So this is my take on it. And this is where I think you've got a real problem, is the fact that he stood there and he said, I said to you, Tim, you had to bring everything back and you came back. So therefore, you know, good on you for doing that, mate. And Tim's nodding like this. And then I'm sitting there going, no, you didn't. Obama did that. Obama gave them the tax haven so that they could come back and they could start doing installation of the assembly of the Mac Pro stuff. You're talking out your ass. It's not your credit. You've taken another president's credit there. And that's what's really the problem. When you take the mick out of him for the silly shit like this, he gets away with all the holy hell stuff.
Nothing we can change, though.
That was an Obama thing. Obama did the tax holiday. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So can we talk about Brexit now?
Oh, yeah, go for it. Yeah. Tom agrees with me in the chat room. He says 100%, Ewan. So I'm guessing that the 100% is you're going to get another four more years of Trump. And based on the fact that you haven't listened, you deserve it. Oh, I tweeted a thing out today. A year ago, next week, next Friday, right? A year ago, Greeny predicted that web apps would take over the world.
Wow.
What happened there?
Wow.
Okay.
Did they? Did I just miss it?
Well, iTunes stopped being a web app, didn't it?
Right. So the answer is no.
Well, if I can think of one thing that you used to be able to do and you can't now is all the old iTunes thing is
that was a web app.
Yeah, that was a web app, wasn't it? You could actually preview it online and stuff, but you can't anymore, can you?
No.
You have to be on device.
Well, it's still a web app. Blocked from it.
Mate, this is a Greeny prediction. How do you know how anything's defined by Greeny?
Well, okay.
That's a really good question.
Yeah. Boom, drop the mic.
Yeah.
Walk off happy.
Yeah.
Greeny predictions. It's a short book.
Like his second-hand car boot sale.
Mullerbike has put, Trump is going to change the law, then he'll become a dictator, then they get Jared. I don't know who Jared is.
No, who's Jared?
It's a fine jeweler.
No, not that Jared. Is that son-in-law?
You can make diamonds a part of your life. No, wait, that's another. No, he went to Jared.
Wasn't the Jared the kiddie fiddler who did the Subway adverts?
That's a different Jared.
That's a different Jared.
Oh, I hope so. God.
Absolutely. This is so far off the rails, it's frightening.
Yeah, rat hole over. Moving on then.
This is a good thing.
This one's quite a good meaty rumor. I like this one. We're going to see where this one goes. And he does put, I love on the graphic, he's put a fanciful mock-up of the digital glasses expected. So Min Chi Kuo, who's renowned for his accuracy on predictions.
No.
Says Apple's first rumored head-mounted augmented reality devices could be ready by the middle of next year.
They probably will, but they won't look anything like that.
let's get a HoloLens and make it white, yeah. And that'll look like an iPod, and we'll call it the eyewear. Oh God, that's good. That's good. Oh no, it's taken.
Yeah, run with it quickly. But you're right. That's a HoloLens. What we're looking at right there. Dear me.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. It's like when you see the Apple car, though, isn't it? It's like a normal car, wipe off the front badge and put an Apple sign for it. There you go, Apple car. Stop doing it.
Well, now, hey, see, let's go back to the Apple car bit, because we've been going on about, oh, Apple aren't making a car, they're never going to make a car, that's ridiculous, how are you going to get it in the stores, get it fixed, and that kind of stuff. did you watch the Grand Tour this morning? Because yeah. I did, I was awake at 5 o'clock, and the Grand Tour had been released, and at the end of that, they outed, and I'm going to do the quoting bit here because I've got to be really careful what I say, because I was given some information a while ago that Dyson were making a car, and I was told I could say that someone that I was unexpected was making a car, but I couldn't say it was Dyson. And then they had James Dyson on the Grand Tour hoovering out a Vauxhall car, and James May said, is Sir James Dyson. He's developing a new solid-state battery.
Okay.
And he's working on the future of global personal transport. So there you go. They outed that Dyson's having a car, I reckon.
Kind of sounds like it.
So Apple, if Dyson's having a car, it's not a million miles to think that Apple could have a car, because they're both electronics producers and they're both got a plenty of money to do it. And I think the thing is that's interesting is that if Dyson generates a solid-state battery, which is unbelievable and gives you 500 miles range in less space or something than compiled in your car, that's where the winning key is in terms of the car market, isn't it? Whoever controls the battery tech in terms of longevity of use and solidity of use will win the world of electric vehicles.
Yeah, but that's a lot of ifs.
All right, thanks, mate.
Well, interesting. It just—I mean, there's so everybody's competing now, you know, for some of these things, and you know, I would love it. I'd love it, but I want to wait and see where there's more solidity to some of this stuff.
Yeah. No, I don't mind that. I think that's fair. But
it's a bit like Samsung with these foldable iPhones, really, these foldable phones that they're designing. You know, we all enjoy sitting back and watching them create these brilliant things, but we always know Apple's going to be waiting for the right time to join that race. Do you know what I mean? They're going to wait and see what it looks like in 6 months, what that fold actually starts to look like and break down, etc. Yeah. It's the same with the car thing. It's just not a market that they're ready for yet, you know, and they're quite happy to sit back and still make tons of money year on year. And then when the time's right, it'll happen. I'm sure it will.
I just think, because everyone's been going on about the fact that it's not going to be, Apple are not going to be making a car. And I'm not saying that they're wrong. I think they possibly would be right. But I don't think it's as outlandish as people want to believe it is. You follow?
Yeah.
I'm not saying before everyone was going, nah, never going to happen, ridiculous, Apple would never make a car. But now that Dyson are thinking about making a car, then I'm just, hang on, that really is possible.
So What if what Apple's doing is the thing that a lot of people say, oh, they won't ever do this because it's not Apple's way, which is develop the technology for other smart cars.
Right.
I think that's a real possibility.
But I would have said the same with Dyson.
Yeah, well.
Because they make vacuum cleaners. Yeah. But they don't. They make hand dryers. They make utility electronics and that kind of stuff. So if they can do it and they're seriously thinking about a car, because let me get the quote, working on the future of global personal transport. So if they were working on the future of global transport with a solid state battery, they'd just say, because it would work in a truck, it would work in anything. So if they're saying personal transport, that indicates small vehicle. And they're not going to do a C5. They're not going to do a Clive Sinclair, are they? It's going to be a car, I think.
I did think that was my initial thought when you first said it. I thought, yeah, because Sinclair
Dyson's, Dyson's working on a Sinclair C5.
With ball action.
I travelled back in time and I said to Clive, what do you think we should do next? And he said, C5's the future.
Did you ever get to America? Guys, do you know what we're on about here? Did this Sinclair C5 ever get to American roads?
That's a good question. I just assumed it did.
No, I don't think it did. Didn't even leave Old Blighty, I don't think.
I'm looking at Chuck, and he looks very vacant, so I'm guessing the video hasn't frozen.
No, I'm guessing that you were talking about some kind of very small vehicle.
You need to Google the Sinclair C5, because that will explain all. And actually, to be fair to Sir Clive Sinclair, he was very much ahead of his time, I would have said.
Yeah.
He was talking about personal electrical vehicles, and it was a sit-on recumbent electrical vehicle, scooter.
Yeah.
Almost looks like a little, what are the little portable ski things that people...
Skidoos, you know, yeah.
Skidoos, yeah. It looks almost like a skidoo with wheels.
Yeah.
So if you weren't familiar with this, when this came out, I think it retailed for about 3,000, I think it was, something along those lines. And it was using pedal power as well as a battery. So the idea is when you ran out of batteries, you could just use your pedal, your feet, to pedal it. So it's like a pedalo, if you like, but with a battery in the back. And
it wasn't that heavy, was it? You could pedal it and get away with it. Yeah, it does, but it's not. It's cyclable. It wasn't a real slog to pedal it. The gearing must have been good.
And as you can see, you almost sat on the actual handlebars of this thing, and it moved. So my uncle actually got one. So I actually did get to my
fame
is that I did actually get to sit in one of these and, you know, actually have a good look over the thing. And I was blown away. Imagine being like, I think, however old I was, must be 12 or 13 at a time. I'm just absolutely, there's the future. And it's in my back garden. You know what I mean? This lovely little white thing. But unfortunately, at the time, there was these British comedians called Alas Smith and Jones. Do you remember those?
God, yeah.
And they did a brilliant sketch where this guy pulls up in a Sinclair C5. It's getting quite dusk. There's a woman on the side of the road. And he leans over to the woman off his Sinclair C5 and says, how much? And she says, 50 quid. And he goes, seems like a fair deal. And she gets in the Sinclair C5 and drives off.
Wow.
And I just remember thinking, even as a kid, how funny that was. Because unfortunately, guys, this bit of technology hit the wall pretty quick. And it became a bit of a mick take than it did as a brilliant invention. But I always remember that sketch and thinking how funny that was.
But actually, darling, 50 quid. But actually, it was well ahead of its time.
It really was.
It was.
Fantastic piece of equipment.
But it looks like it would be a bit more acceptable. It's like a Segway.
You could get away with it now. If you launched it, if you launched that device now, you could get away with it. I think you'd probably make a few quid.
I'm sure there's a few being sort of retrofitted anyway by now. Whoever's got one of these, because they did sell a great deal of these, but they also leased them, I think, as well. So a lot of people leased them for a few weeks to see how they felt about it. But I really can't remember the retail. I'm sure it was about 3,000, which was a hell of a lot of money in the early 80s.
The doorbell, by the way, was the late Martin Kelly. He's not dead, he's just late.
don't put me in a box that quick, honestly.
Yeah. And I love the fact that his future wife, Jackie, is sitting far away on the table believing that she's off camera, but she's not.
Gives away.
Tell her she sat where my wife sat as well.
Your absence looks conspicuous, Jake.
That's what I call the widow's corner there and over there.
Yes, God, actually, that's true.
That's great. Now she's a widow as well as been trying to put done away by Ewan.
James's wife has sat over there. Yeah.
The widow's corner.
Widow's corner.
Yeah, for her, like, I'm sure
wife's corner. Anyway, going back to what we talk about glasses. Right, so AR glasses from Apple in 2020. Is this going to happen, yes or no? And it's going to be an iPhone accessory, so it'll run off your iPhone. The batteries better be bloody good by that point, I would have said. Otherwise, we'd be in big trouble.
I'm going with not 2020. It just feels a little too early.
I think we've got to think about the infrastructure that's going to be put in place before the glasses get there. In other words, we've got to let the developers start building things, you know, to make this a viable thing that you do want to go out and buy a pair of glasses. You know, you can't sort of, here's a pair of glasses and there'd be sort of a handful of applications available. We've got to have a sort of really good back catalogue there, you know?
Well, it says launch, so that means that this could launch at WWDC next year. And then it doesn't mean it's going to be supplied next year. It's just going to be launched. And the developers have got a three-month lead time. So you could have a September-November event to actually announce that it's going to be on sale, but they could out the tech at with developer opportunities of some description.
I would also think that though Apple would want to have some of their own things ready, so that they have something to sell other than just the opportunity for developers to create for it.
Yeah.
And they have the data. They certainly have the computing power infrastructure to do that.
I think the apps are really the entire, you know, the question mark for any AR glasses. I thought it was interesting. I'm one of the, I guess you could call it a Google, whatever it is, Google Street View local guide. It's a long term, I know. But anyway, I just got an invitation this morning, and I'm probably, you know, outing this here, but they want the local guides to test their new AR direction app that they have. And I would think that Apple would make something like that available as an iPhone app initially, and then you know, probably after some people have had a year to test it and they've been able to grab all this data from all this usage, at that point you know, come out with the glasses. So maybe this year we're going to see something similar from Apple, an AR direction giving app, you know, that'll point in the direction that you're supposed to be going and highlight a building, do whatever it's supposed to do there. And then in 2020, we might actually see the hardware behind, or, you know, for the eyes. But who knows? Who knows?
Ming is saying, Emperor Ming says that he believes that production could start in the fourth quarter of this year or as late as the second quarter of 2020, but no later than that. So second quarter 2020 is going to be a good lead time for a November release, isn't it? There'll be 500,000 copies. But I think the other thing as well is price point. Can you see Apple making this product at a price point? It's not going to compete with HoloLens, is it? It's going to be more expensive than HoloLens by quite a way.
Well, I mean, what application would you say that would be the selling point for you? What could you see? And that's what I think you've got to think about personally. I guess we don't really know till Apple actually shows us what we want to buy. But
a chicken game on my dining room table, clearly.
Exactly. You know, it's going to be something quite personal initially, because only, you know, you'll have one set for you. And I think it's going to be, you know, tell me right now, is there an app that you go, God, I wish that was VR? Well, there's nothing. They're all a bit, even the golf games I've played, that they're good to show people for 4 seconds and then it's forgotten about, you know, almost the app's deleted the next day. They're all very much tech demos at the moment. I can't think of one thing I can think AR would be great for. Other than, don't get me wrong, other than probably the business sector where you've got the architecture like Apple has shown with, you know, the, the sort of their headquarters, you know, that makes perfect sense. Being able to walk around a physical structure that has AR on top of it, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But for something at home, you're sitting there with your missus, you watch your TV, you think, oh, I'll just have a go at this. No. I really can't see it right now anyway.
Apologies for whoever's flushing their toilet in the middle of James's diatribe there. But Bob and James are having a bit of loving today. They've said hello to each other now. And now James is going, Bob's saying, I agree, James, there's no killer apps for AR. You two can get a room.
Me and Bob are on the same page. It's good.
Oh,
to
mate,
know.
If Bob gets his way, it'd be more than that, mate. He'd be on something else. DirecTV now gains Apple TV integration. Now, I don't have DirecTV because it's an AT&T thing over here. Is that ubiquitous over there? Is that a really good thing for Apple, or is it just a meh? Can't be asked.
Well, if I remember correctly, does DirecTV now not require a regular DirecTV satellite dish and service? And I'm asking the other US guys here.
DirecTV Now service using the Watch Now feature on the Apple TV. So you can watch DirecTV using the Apple TV.
Oh, okay.
You don't need a dish. That's like
other than on the Apple TV, I think you still do.
Right.
That's why it's DirecTV.
Which would indicate that AT&T is really chucking its eggs into the Apple basket. Because if there's nowhere else that they've got the platform exposed, but they've gone for Apple, that's a kudos, surely.
Well, and it would certainly make the potential investment a lot easier for the customer.
Mm.
I haven't seen the service, so I don't know. But if I could take a DirecTV subscription that is being sent through the internet to my Apple TV, rather than try to go through the hassle of getting a dish erected and, you know, having to have my local homeowners association approve that and go through all that hassle. Mm. That would be very appealing as an alternative to my cable company.
Yeah. Just for a split second there, this is like a hearing dyslexia. I didn't hear hassle, I heard asshole. Sorry, Chuck. I don't want to have to go through this asshole.
Pure selective interpretation.
Chuck, we've done the Trump story. We've done the Trump story. Move on, man.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I find the Apple TV app crap. When you click on something, it goes, oh, do you want to carry on watching? You go, yeah, okay. So you click on it and you just get the dot matrix spiral thing. You're like, oh, come on. And you end up having to switch it off. And every day now, if my Apple TV has not been used for more than sort of 18 to 24 hours, I have to unplug it and plug it back in again to get it to work. And the old one did that as well. As it's not just been this one. I find it really frustrating that it doesn't come on when you click the remote.
Mine
does too.
Yeah. Thanks for rubbing that in, boys.
I'll go ahead and rub it in too.
Yeah. Go. Oh, shit.
No. I'd agree with you. And I use my Apple TV every day. And
every day you have to restart it.
7 or 8 months ago, I bought a Panasonic Smart TV, which obviously is my first 4K TV. I've not owned a 4K TV in about 8 years, so this is my first big purchase. Anyway, it has built-in Netflix 4K, has YouTube built-in, and I haven't, honestly, hand on heart, really used my Apple TV since, because you've got it all that remote control, which is your normal TV control for turning the volume up and down. And I only really, if I think about it, use my Apple TV just to stream stuff from my laptop. If I've got a film on my laptop and I need to send it to TV, then obviously I use my Apple TV more as a streaming device now, as opposed to a content that I go to physically click on an app and then go through and watch it like that. But you're right, Ewan, it always seems to be the case of you can never bury the Apple TV. You've always got to have access to it. You've just got to rip the plug out every now and then.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Bob Beach says his does. Does what, dude?
Does what?
Does what? Does what mine says, or does what everyone else says?
Does work.
Jeez. Be specific, man. Leaked Aquaman movie suggests that iTunes 4K streaming has been cracked. A version of the Aquaman movie's popped up on torrent sites, and it looks like it's Apple's iTunes that has been the source of the breach. It's not even available on iTunes, is it, at the minute?
Oh, that's a good Let's find out.
I'll say in which
continent today.
That'll be released in a different continent. It's a bloody great film, by the way. I went to see this at the IMAX. Really didn't think I was going to be expecting much. And I was blown away. Absolutely fantastic. Beautifully done. Great VFX stuff.
I have not seen it yet because I've been burned by every DC movie except Wonder Woman.
Hey, Wonder Woman was fantastic, wasn't it? That was an insta buy.
But I will add to James. It very well done. Really, just everything just looks so good. The story is decent, but everything is visually just great.
Mm. You feel like when you left this, I remember just leaving the IMAX theater with my son. I'm just thinking, God, I feel exhausted. I feel like I've been on this massive journey underwater, above water, you know, with this guy, and it's just been brilliant. Now, you actually come out feeling exhausted. It was that much of a great ride watching it, you know. And I'll definitely buy it on iTunes if and when it is real.
It's available in the United States now.
Ah, right. That's why.
Okay.
Not in the UK, Storm. I'm going to look now, but I'm guessing not.
And it turns out Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is available in the United States on iTunes now, too.
You lucky bastards.
Which means it'll be available for torrenting as well.
Yeah, we must wait a few days. Can we get the 4K version, please? Well, that is the thing, isn't it? When you buy, and this is what I love about iTunes, you know, you buy that film and any device you pick up with an Apple sign on it, pretty much you can watch it. And that's, you know, when Wonder Woman dropped up, I bought it instantly. Such a great film. Things like Bohemian Rhapsody, another brilliant, brilliant film. And without doubt, I'll be buying this one. I mean, great, you know, people have always bragged about being able to crack hardware, software in any shape or form, and it was only a matter of time before iTunes was going to see its first crack, at least, you know.
Mm.
I wonder what the file size was, Ewan.
28 gig, 35 gig, something like that, maybe. Even with the H.264 codec.
Something ain't going to be worth it.
There is no copy protection format that is unbreakable.
Oh, no. Yeah, even the Disney one where they scrambled it, that was done within a couple of months, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the fact that this has happened, there you go. And Apple will make changes, and it'll be just this ongoing cat and mouse game.
Yeah.
Just like jailbreaking, yeah.
Nintendo has asked its partner developers to cut back on in-app purchases on the Apple Store because of fear of tarnishing the brand.
Someone send those guys a fruit basket.
Well, yeah. No, I think it's a real positive. If they're taking that, that's exactly what companies should be doing. Most definitely they should be doing.
I agree. And boo on Apple for not doing the same thing that Nintendo is.
Yeah, they should have led this from the start.
I agree.
But I know they can't dictate what developers can charge and can't charge, but some of the stuff at, like, you know, £100 or more, £79 for...
And horrible.
We've gone on about it quite a lot on the big show as well, about the twin currency system that means that you have to buy both as proceeding the games and stuff. He's not good. So well done, Nintendo. We'll give him some kudos there for sure.
I think, you know, this is such a big story generally anyway. I was talking to the guy who runs Game up in our local store. And, you know, there's rumors in 2 months' time that we're going to see, obviously, the first discless Xbox One. You know, and of course, if that becomes the norm, then the secondhand game market is out the window. That means you can't actually demo a game. It'll actually be, you know, pay it and unlucky if you don't enjoy it. I think it's quite frightening. I don't like the idea of not being able to buy a disc. But then if you think of Netflix and CDs and DVDs and MP3s, then it's the inevitable we're going to see. But when that first device comes out, I will feel like a proper old person.
To be fair, though, to the music industry and to the gaming industry, you've only ever had a license for the game. You've never owned it.
I know, but when you hold that physical disc, Ewan, you know, it's one of those things, you know. I know we don't really read instructions anymore. The games don't come with instructions anymore. You're going to put the disc in and you don't really think about it again. But when you physically hold that, and again, the price point of being like 50, 60 quid for that one disc, you know, you want to hold something. I guess a film for 13 quid, I'm not that worried about. But when I'm going
to
spend...
Strictly speaking, if everyone who's got their CD collection ripped it to disc or onto their computers and then done iTunes match on it and then sold all the discs on Magpie, you're in breach of copyright law. You only have a license for that. You are in breach. Sorry.
Yeah, but iTunes has allowed me to do it, and I've been an iTunes match guy for probably 8 years.
I think, Apple got the music industry to take a higher path, but the movie industry is not interested. The movie industry and the gaming industry are still everyone's a pirate, everyone's stealing all our content all the time. And until they get past that, then people are going to rail against this kind of stuff every single time.
Wasn't there something just recently, though, the RIAA came out and... you know, was talking about how much money they were making, how they were doing so much better, but at the end they tagged it with, you know, but we still have to worry about, you know, people stealing maybe it had to do with streams, that they were buying more physical product than streams, but, you know, we still worry about people stealing it. Am I making that up? I don't think so.
10% of the world is criminals.
There's always going to be a percentage of people who don't want to pay. And we'll just steal. And the problem is that right now we have the TV and movie industry doing this whole thing where they're so worried about that small percentage of people that will always just steal it, that they've made it actually really difficult in many cases for people who simply want to pay for their content to do that. And I think that their actions are driving more people to pirate content than otherwise would.
Yeah, nothing breeds it like exclusivity. No question. Mm-hmm. No question. Yeah. You make something exclusive, someone will nick it.
Yeah, if you make it easy for me to get something I'm interested in, I'm going to pay for it. I mean, geez, I just bought Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse simply because I saw, oh, it's available on iTunes now, and I like this movie, and I want it. Boom, bought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I spent, we've got 600 movies on the Apple TV. Sharon and I are real filmophiles.
Wow.
It's the only thing we got in common. I don't know why we got married other than that. why'd you marry the girl? Well, I go to the cinema with her. She's a good hand holder. If I'm lucky, she lets me put my arm around and squeeze her boobs.
Too much information.
No, but that's one of our big compatibilities, if you like, as a couple. We love our movies together. So as soon as a movie's out, and we've got Grindwald's out today, so it's like, oh, actually, I said, should we go out on a date? And Ellis can look after Bryony tonight. She's like, yeah, that'd be great. And they went, oh, Grindwald's out. She went, oh, don't know. Well, we could watch it tomorrow night. We are buying the movie, Mike. Good point.
I'll be honest with you, no spoilers, but I didn't enjoy the film at all.
No spoilers, man.
I said no spoilers, but I didn't enjoy the film, so just having me in mind.
Oh, that's a spoiler!
When you throw the control at the screen.
Well, yeah, okay, great, but it's shit. I mean, thanks, mate. Night with me wife, or a shit film. Oh, yeah, but, mate, hope she lets you grab her boobs because it's a shit film. Jesus, James.
I'm so sorry. It is.
Jackie, bit of decorum, mate.
Okay, calm down.
Apple adding 1,200 new jobs in San Diego. Upcoming engineering yawn. Hub, sorry, did I say yawn? My mistake. Great, fantastic new jobs. This is the kind of stuff that President Dump was talking about with Tim Apple.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Oh, you got nothing to say about that. All right, fella, sorry. Apple Watch Bands. Yay, far more interesting.
Yeah.
What, no emojis? Apple Watch Bands then. Apparently they're all running out. So we're going to get some new ones in spring. Anyone got a spring design that they're really looking forward to?
I want the one with the little chickies and eggies on it.
Oh, I've just got snot down my face. Sorry.
You know, the Apple Watch Band limited availability leading into spring, that's a normal thing.
Yeah.
Because Apple does their seasonal band switch out. So, of course, this is happening. And whether or not that means there's a new watch on the way with it, no. But
no,
we're getting new bands. And, it's time for the spring bands.
I mean, even though Angela Aherence is gone now, you know, the thing that she brought to Apple was the style, you know, and the fact that this thing is a style thing and people actually do like to change their bands. And, you know, I would meet people, you know, and I could guarantee that the minute we had a new band, I would know the people about to walk down those stairs. Have you got it in yet? Have you got it in yet? They couldn't help themselves. I think because sort of the silicone ones are quite a good price point, really. If you think it was a fashion icon for like 39 quid, and people will be seen wearing that day in, day out, that was a cheap purchase for most people who follow the industry. You know?
This is what I don't get, is that there is an industry on Amazon and eBay where they got the clasps and then they were bringing out some Apple Watches, Apple Watch bands, and they tried to just duplicate what Apple already had. And they did that and it worked just fine and they sold a few of those. But they've all got money now and they're starting to get to the stage where there are better bands on Amazon than there are on, and the quality's good as well. Before they were a bit crappy and they'd have loops that would catch on your jumper and that kind of thing. Mm. But now there's some really good watch bands on Amazon, and to a certain degree, I think Apple are falling behind, despite the fact that they had Mrs. Burberry there dictating the design stuff.
I don't think she was actually dictating the design.
No, I don't think she was either.
She just knew what was in, if you like, color wise.
She was just really good at understanding what would make for a retail experience that would draw people into a store.
Yeah.
Okay, Ewan, explain to me how Apple is falling behind in watch bands. I mean, it's a watch band, okay? If you're talking about selection and colors, but it's a watch band.
Their watch band technology is horrible.
So what I'm saying is there is a what they're trying to do is very like a fashion release, but what they're not seeing is the fact that people don't, I don't think people really are bothered. I think the thing they got from Aaron's was bands were released as a collection. So it was the spring collection, the summer collection, the winter collection, that kind of stuff. And I don't think people give a shit. I think they just want loads of funky bands. And there are more and loads more of funky quality bands that are available on Amazon and eBay at a quarter of the price compared to the Apple collection. And I don't think anyone gives a toss about buying the collection from Apple. That's what I meant, Chuck. Sorry.
I you know what? I agree with you for this audience, but I think it was James was saying.
The drongos that listen to this network. Thanks, mate.
Yeah.
That's our people. That,
yeah, there are people that, you know, that do. I mean, they go out and they buy the spring dress or the spring, you know, whatever. I mean, it's alien to me. I agree with you completely. I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
But I think there are people that really, because it's the spring collection from Apple, that means something to them. And I give them credit because how much, I mean, I'm sorry, fashion people, but how much effort can there be to bring out a new spring collection? You know, figure out, okay, we're going to change the color grading or the shading five shades and release it as the spring collection. Great.
To be clear to dressmakers and things like that, there's a lot of work in it. But in terms of band production for an Apple Watch, I agree, there's zero.
Yeah. So.
I think there is a percentage out there that they actually get excited about the seasonal bands. If my Twitter stream is any indication, when they come out, I just see tons of tweets, people that are really excited and they're talking about which of the bands they're going to get.
What percentage of your Twitter stream is that? 2%?
I have no idea. It's just something that's suddenly more noticeable.
Mm.
And then a couple weeks after the announcement, then that chatter dies back down again.
James, you've had the retail experience of this. What's your take on it?
Yeah, honestly, Ewan, you wouldn't believe it. You know, like I said last week about the Beats, when Beats changed their headphones. Honestly, the guys would be running downstairs, you know, that morning just to see them, get them out the box, touch them, feel them, try them. And it's exactly the same the bands. The bands were always laid out in the stores on a beautiful area where you could just quite literally walk up, pick it up, slot it onto your own wrist, take a photograph for your Instagram friends or for anybody. And a lot of the time, a lot of them would walk out with it because, like I said, they see it as a fashion accessory. those are the colors detected by Apple for this season, if you like. And it was a cheap way of being fashionable. And again, it's all about the Instagram squad, really. I mean, we're talking to a bunch of old dodgy blokes, aren't we? Let's face it. But
the people, well, I was just about to chime in with Grumpy Bob has put excited about new watches FFS in the Slack room.
But genuinely, I mean, you've got to say it has its audience, and they are there, mate. When that drops, I remember the Gay Pride. So my friend was at the Gay Pride in California with Tim. He actually had his photograph taken with Tim Apple, and I was very jealous of the fact. But obviously, on that Pride, they were given the rainbow bands at the time. So my friend came back with the rainbow band. I tell you, he was offered so much money for that band because at that point, Apple didn't say whether we're going to produce them or not. And it wasn't until, I think, 2 or 3 months later that they said, oh, actually, we'll be making the rainbow bands available to everybody. But at the time, you know, they were going for like 250 quid, that rainbow band. It was insane.
There's a few sick people after that statement was made then.
Well, think about the sneaker culture that's out there. Yeah, I mean, people that own 200 pairs of sneakers, and it doesn't make you run that much faster, and it doesn't make you jump that much higher, but it's all about the fashion.
Yeah. I mean, what are knitted shoes about? Seriously, knitted trainers? Yeah, they're going mental for it. I feel old. DMA, bah humbug. Knitted trainers? Hey, you drop them in a puddle of water, they're going to be five times the size they were when you first put them on.
James, don't feel bad. I'm wearing the watch band that I got with my first Apple Watch, and I haven't changed it.
See, James, you're not getting this, mate, because clearly knitted trainers mean that if you go through a puddle, when you dry them rapidly, they'll get smaller and you can hand them down to your kids.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's like the down cycle, like the iPhone. You can do it with your trainers.
There you go. That's a dad thought right there, isn't it? Yeah. Hand-me-downs. There you go.
Hand-me-downs, shrunken trainers. We may have a title.
Oh, gosh. Brilliant. So, yes, massive market. Yes, there'll always be people ready to buy those bands. In fact, did I see somewhere somebody invented or made an Apple Watch band drawer that you could buy? There you go. Popular.
No kidding.
Well, Apple did, because that's how they sell them.
Yeah, they've actually made the actual... I must have sent a Mac Rumors or 9to5 Mac that you could buy a band drawer, Apple band drawer. I thought, wow, really?
Maybe that's Apple. Maybe Apple should start selling theirs from the product stores.
You know what they need to sell are those little trays that you set the Apple Pencil in.
Yeah,
I'd pay serious money for that.
Oh, they need to bring back iPod socks as well. I still desperately want my iPod socks. I do. Oh, you can't tell me I'm wrong. I want my iPod socks back. I need a new set. I can't find mine anywhere now. They've all been gone. People have half-inched them, or I put them on my son's feet when he was little and never got them back.
I'm surprised there's never been an iPhone sock.
Yeah. I would wear it. No, seriously. Nice. If there was an iPhone sock, I would have it. Rather than a protective case, I'd put it in a knitted sock.
Hold on. I'm looking it up on Google right now.
Do it.
They're there. Oh, my God.
So put the link in the chat room.
Here's one on, oh my God. Okay. Here's Amazon. We'll go with that.
Yeah. Always. We need an affiliate link.
just going off the tangent. Right. But have you noticed how many, YouTube videos are now sponsored by Vimeo?
Oh,
have you noticed that? Every YouTube video is sponsored by Vimeo at the moment. It's like, well, that's bizarre. An advertising service on the back of something else. Bizarre. Anyway.
Hang on. Here we go.
$7. There are tons of Apple Watch band storage cases on Amazon.
Oh, God. Look at this. There we go.
Wow.
There we go. Look. 5 pieces as well.
That's right. There you go. You can now get your iPhone cozy.
I love the fact that they say fits iPhone XS. X and iPhone 8, 6, 6, 6, 6, and 6S. It's like, it's knitted. Of course it fits. It'll fit me bloody foot if I put it in it.
But you just dunk them in water and they shrink to size, don't they?
Well, if you want to hand them down, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. $7 is that?
It is. $7. Just saw that. Yeah. Get it ordered.
Sock.
That's right. Oh, and free shipping.
Free shipping.
Not to the UK, something tells me.
Probably not.
So let's do copy, and then we'll do Amazon. Zun.co.uk, and then we'll paste it in there, and we'll go, come on, are they in the UK store?
Ooh,
no!
Like a generic.
Not a chance.
No!
Anybody wanted to buy the
watch band? There's a fit bag.
I was talking about. It's by epicwatchbands.com, and it's $39. There you go.
A fit bag. What's a fit bag?
That's it. We're all in the shopping spree now. Stop it, Ewan.
It's good audio, this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. Everybody's quiet looking at websites.
You can get an orange.
Watch bands does that store?
You can get an orange fit bag. Jesus, that's pretty cool. Many.
That's like what I call the Rene Ritchie of watch band storage.
Would you believe it? Look, they've got a fit bag and they haven't got an orange one on the Prime stuff. They've only got one on where you've got to pay an extra £1.80 delivery.
That just doesn't seem fair.
Not right, mate.
Mm.
I like that though. Orange fit bag. Right, I'll be buying that afterwards then. Well, I'll probably buy it while you lot are doing your cool things. So
there you go.
This podcast and all the rest is brought to you by TSO Host. We are entirely lovely, wonderfully indebted to them for their kind support. They dived in last year and saved us from a fate worse than not broadcasting. We can't thank them enough. We need you to thank them. So they're not interested in you buying stuff. If you do, that'd be great. And it'd be really lovely if you bought some things from them. But you get 20% off your basket as well. BTN20 gets you 20% off all the hosting services they've got for you. No problem at all. What they really, really want, though, is brand recognition. So they want you to take to Twitter and your social medias and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. And we've had some lovely, lovely messages go out this week from people. And we may have found ourselves a new Mac pundit from it as well. So very, very much looking forward. I'm having a Skype call with her next week.
Awesome. A girl?
Oh, it's a girl.
Oh,
it's a girl.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yay!
I looked into the pile that is Twitter, and I found a female tech pundit, mate.
Good work.
Rare as they are.
Yeah.
But awesome. Less sausage, the better on this show. So please support TSO Host and please give them that brand recognition by saying thanks for supporting us. Likewise, thanks to @Telestream. They need your support. They're the people that give us the wonderful software that I can't use properly, that shows off all of the things that I can't do. So again, thank @Telestream and thank also @Hoya_UK. They're the people that give me the glasses that I wear to do the shows in, and their unique system is just unreal. It has to be seen to be believed, and when you get your glasses back from them with the unique lenses, there is nothing better. I can promise you that. When I lost my glasses because of the fact I had to have them adjusted because I'd lost weight from when I got measured, they were brilliant, and I missed them terribly, 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 terribly. Thanks to all the people that support this network. And thanks also to people that bother to give us subscriptions and donations and that kind of stuff. What I would like you to do, though, please, if you're with Patreon, please cancel your subscription with them. They owe us more than $1,000, and they haven't given us the money. And the reason they haven't given us the money is because they say I haven't filled out a US WSO9 form. Which is a form which is only required to be filled out by American citizens. And despite the fact that I keep telling them I'm not an American citizen, I fill out the other form, they still keep making me send it out. And I put a ticket in on Monday, and they still haven't replied to the ticket yet. So please cancel your subscriptions to Patreon and then go to britishtechnetwork.com/subscriptions and sign up on the subscription program there. There's a simple monthly payment. It goes direct to us, so we get more of it. There isn't 10% disappearing to Patreon as a commission. We're getting all of that money to our PayPal account, simple as that. For those people that do, and there's people, I was talking to Jim, one of our subscribers. He's given us £650 over the last few years. That's a phenomenal amount of money. There's other people, you know, that do sizable donations every month, and they've done it for a long period of time. And I don't give them individual name checks because it's their choice and it's their privacy. And unless they want me to, I wouldn't dream of it. But they know who they are. And it's made a massive difference. It helps pay for the bash. It pays for Kyle to do the news show every day for you. And that's a free service that you get, you know, that's paid for by the subscribers. So if you are a listener to the news show, if you do want to contribute just a $5 a month, then you're going to continue that show for everyone. And we're doing pretty well, actually. We're riding quite high at the moment in the tech news charts with the news show. So please, please, please go to Patreon and delete your thing because we're not getting the money anyway. There's no point. But we would really like you to go to /subscriptions on the BritishTechNetwork.com and sign up there instead, if you would. Thank you very much to everyone that supports this network. It is very much valued. Aye, aye. Someone's got an important message. You've got to go, mate.
Perfect timing.
Right, time for the cool things. Start us off, Chuck Apple.
Okay, so I did not know this particular product existed for the iPad Mini 4 until CES this year. This is a bridge keyboard for the iPad Mini 4.
Love bridge.
See if I can get that. Yes. And I particularly was interested in this for the iPad Mini 4 simply because it's the only iPad I have that doesn't have a decent keyboard that can integrate with it. I did have a portable keyboard for it. But that means you have to carry around two things. You have to make sure the pairing works and everything. This is absolutely perfect. It folds together, so it looks like just a little mini laptop. Slides right in and out very easily of the keyboard. I can't recommend this highly enough. I've used my Mini now more than I have in years because suddenly I have a lot more capabilities with it. Because unfortunately, especially on the Mini, the screen keyboard just is really difficult. So this went from being a consumption machine and sort of a convenience machine to a productivity machine. And of course, the Bridge has keyboards for all the iPads, and I'm looking forward to maybe exploring those with some of the larger ones as well. But if you have a Mini, I absolutely love this, and I can't say enough good things about it.
How do you find the typing distance between the keys? Is that a bit tricky at times, or is it okay?
It's okay. It took about an hour to get used to because nature of something that small, it has to be a little smaller, but it really is no hassle. The biggest adjustment is that the return key is the size of a normal keycap as opposed to, you know, something a little larger. So that took just a little bit of time to get used to, but honestly, after an hour, you know, I adjusted perfectly and have had no problems with it.
Excellent. Good.
So go check it out. I'm putting the link in the show notes to their website. Check it out if you have an iPad Mini 4, but check it out if you have any of the larger size ones, because I did get to put my hands on the larger ones at CES, and those will be some of my next purchases for my other larger iPads.
The link to Chuck's pick there for the Bridge keyboard is in the Slack room or the chat room here. And if you want to know what has gone on in the chat room, then all you got to do is go to BritishTechNetwork.com/chat and all the links for all the cool things will be in there because everyone sticks their link in as soon as they've said it. So do that. Just navigate to the relevant date. It's always Friday because we don't do anything unless it's Friday, 8th of March today. Brilliant. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, mate?
What I have for you, and I wish I could drop the link in, but Apple, as usual, is behind on email links. But anyhow...
James will pick it. Oh, there isn't a link. Right, got you.
Okay, so my pick is Linea Sketch, which I believe is something I picked in the past, but the reason I'm picking it today is because they recently did an update that addressed the one missing feature for me, which was pressure-sensitive line thickness. And once they added that in, Linea Sketch became the only sketching app that I will use on my iPad. And that's, I mean, that's saying a lot because for a long, long time, the only app I would use was Paper by 53, but the company got sold to another company. They changed how they were handling the features that you had paid for, like they took some away. P- pissed me off. So I switched to Linea Sketch. It was limited, but with the updates they have come out with over the past several months, and now with that pressure sensitivity for line thickness, that's it. I am sold. This is the only drawing and sketching app for me on my iPad.
Excellent, mate. What are the prices?
I think it's like $4.99. Oh, it's 14?
$4.99 according to
Oh, $4.99. Oh.
£4.99, okay. But that's probably only about $2, isn't it?
Whatever I paid for it, they didn't charge enough.
Yeah.
Seriously.
No, good pick.
I mean, if they had priced this at $29, I still would have bought it, and it's still worth it.
Excellent. Mr. Sandy, what do you have?
Well, I actually, you know, we were talking when I think we were yapping about cars, we were talking about battery technology. And I have this week this is called the ElectJet Apollo Traveler, and it looks just like a regular little battery pack. But it has one thing that's very, very different about it. This is, and if I read the small print on here, it says it's a graphene composite lithium battery. And it's actually the first graphene battery on the market. Graphene is a one atom thick composite material, basically, that's made, or not a composite material, but anyway, it's made out of carbon atoms, one atom thick, and it has some interesting capabilities in terms of conductivity. So even though this is just a garden variety 5,000 milliamp hour battery pack, the cool thing is that you can charge this up from zero to 100% loaded in about 20 minutes. It's very fast in terms of charging. They also think the technology is going to be quite a bit safer than standard lithium ion batteries. Shouldn't have the ability to burn or do anything else. I sent the link to you through email, Ewan, simply because I'm still locked out on the chat for some reason, but it's available for pre-order currently on Kickstarter. And I've got to admit, like I said, being able to take this thing from completely burned out or, you know, absolutely no charge to 100% charged in 20 minutes is pretty amazing.
Wow. Excellent, mate. Good one. I shall paste that in the chat room in a moment.
Thank you.
Jamie Boy, what do you have for us?
Okay, so when I was a kid, Star Wars was the best thing that ever invented. Let's face it. It was amazing. And to think I could own something as cool as R2-D2, well, it's now come around to me. I'm 44 something, and I finally got my hand on R2-D2. There he is. So this is the Sphero, okay? R2-D2. Now, when I was at the Apple Store, before I left, this had just come out. It was hot off the press. And it was retailing around about 120 quid at the Apple Store. It's an insane amount of money for something that really is just a lovely bit of a gadget. But if you know Sphero, you can program him. It will actually go, you can actually draw a track on the floor and he'll follow it. He beeps and whistles. I mean, just, you know, who doesn't want that in their life? He's just lovely. Now, unfortunately, they discontinued him. So if you want him, and this is why I decided to just follow my childhood dream, actually purchase this thing. It would cost me 32 quid off eBay. And he was mint in his box, all his gadgets, everything you needed with it. And so I've totally had a quick complete look, and you can buy loads of these on eBay right now for just under 50 quid. So at this price point, I think it's actually worth buying now. And, it, you know, he's got so many features. I can't tell you. There's a VR part in this that you can use, an AI, augmented reality thing. When he goes for a little walk, his little... You see that? His little third leg drops out there and he wheels around and he's just...
That used to happen to me when I was younger as well.
Wait, it stopped happening for you?
Oh, mate, yeah.
Oh, behave. Child friendly. Look at this. Anyway, it's so nice. I think when you're a kid and you think, oh, wouldn't it be great to have that thing? All the sounds are so authentic. It takes me back to being a kid and I absolutely love it. I've just not told the wife I've bought it yet, so I've been hiding him on the windowsill, and she's out.
I,
right now. So she doesn't know I've got it on
for you for that.
So anyway, it's a bit of a just get him. He's like £30, what a bargain. And of course, iPhone app controls him like a remote control car. He's brilliant. There you go.
Okay, here's how to make him even cooler. There's a free app that you can get off the App Store. Yeah. It's horribly named because it makes it very difficult to find, but it's called Tickle. And I know, I don't know what they were thinking with the name. And the icon for it is like the head of an orca. Just, you can find it in the list of all the apps that aren't exactly kid friendly. But what it does is it gives you a visual coding interface that works with all the Sphero devices, and it gives you more control over what you do with the different Sphero devices than you can get in Sphero's own apps.
Cool.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm already on it. I'm like a big kid. I'm like a kid in the toy shop. It's brilliant. I love it.
Good.
I'm downloading it right now, Jeff. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Excellent round of picks, fellas. Where can we get a hold of you, Chuck Apple?
You can find me at macvoices.com. That's where you can link to everything that I do, and would love to have you come over and check it out. Thanks for having me, Ewan.
No, pleasure, mate. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Jeffrey Apple, where would you be?
I am over at smilesoftware.com and textexpander.com, and you can find all of my Jeffrey Apple social content at Jake Gamet on Twitter and Instagram.
Excellent, mate. Steve Apple, where would you be?
I would be at appleworld.today and also at blog.maxsales.com, and you can find me on the Twitter as at Stephen with a V, Sandy, S-A-N-D-E.
I just want to point out, when Steve says he's at Apple World Today, he's actually at Apple World Today. That's when he's using Apple correctly, not taking the mick out of Donald Trump. James Apple, where would you be?
I am at Rickards James, just at James Rickards on Twitter. Everything I do in my life is probably on there, and photos to prove it.
I'm peddling the hell out of your Udemy stuff.
Oh God, Udemy. It's like, I could keep telling people, it's this untapped resource. I feel like I've got a gold mine and nobody else is allowed to come in. It's that good. If you're really clever and you don't mind recording what you do, stick it on Udemy. You'll be rich beyond your wildest dreams. There you go. I've said it. Cat's out the bag.
Chuck, you've just had a warning message come up over your face that looks a bit like the Truman Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The camera went wonky for that a was minute. Quite so.
No, but I don't know why we saw it. It's like we saw your warning message.
Ooh. Yeah, well.
It did look very Truman Show-ish. You just draw a space helmet on the front of your screen for us to look at.
Okay. And the camera winked out again. Sorry about that.
That's all right, mate. Don't worry. We're going now anyway. I've got a date.
It's his Tony Stark Jarvis heads-up display.
Yeah. I've got a date with my wife tonight, so. My name's Ewan Apple. You can get me at Ewan Apple on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech as well. We'll be back again next week on Friday as normal. We'll have both shows. We had a bit of a meltdown on guests, just a bit of a perfect storm with Big Show. So Big Show will be back next week as normal. But Max Show is definitely coming as well. Have a great weekend. Really enjoy it. I'm working. Thanks for listening.
Yay! Really
thank
enjoyed
you,
that.
Guys.
That was
fun.
Thank you.
Thank you, fellas. Very kind.
It was
fun.
Yeah.
That was loads of fun, as always.
Yep.
Bob says he likes the Mac Voices magazine on Flipboard. Whoop.
Oh, nice to hear. Thank you. Mm. Thank you.
Oh, Chuck, how did I not know that? I should have known that.
Because you don't listen to his podcast?
Wait, Chuck has a podcast?
Ha 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 ha!